Today FM's Last Word on Tech with Matt Cooper and Volkswagen. Introducing the ID3, the electric car for the people.
It's time for Tech Tuesday. We've a lot to get through today with Andy O'Donoghue. And Andy, I want to start by discussing alternatives to WhatsApp. But firstly, before we talk about alternatives, why is it that WhatsApp suddenly many people are looking for alternatives to it?
Well, this is certainly a self-inflicted wound, Matt, that WhatsApp have inflicted upon themselves. They issued a privacy policy change that initially users had to accept by February 8th or lose access to the app. And it related to how the app handles messages between users and businesses. So WhatsApp is an increasingly popular tool for businesses to communicate with customers and even facilitates, particularly in the US, facilitates people buying online. What happened, of course, an amount of misinformation came flooding behind this, that essentially WhatsApp people were saying, what, WhatsApp are going to be reading my messages? So just to allay those fears, that doesn't happen. And WhatsApp uses end-to-end encryption. So if I send you a message on WhatsApp, only I see it and only you see it. So that's the first thing to remember. But people didn't like it because this means that an amount of data will be collected under this new privacy policy. And people were uncomfortable with these business chats being known to WhatsApp. And of course, that ultimately would facilitate targeted ads and maybe directing you here, there to things that competing products or from other businesses selling something like the one you were talking to. So people got uncomfortable about it.
Okay, so let me just clarify this with you, please, Andy. So if you and I have a WhatsApp conversation, that is only available to both of us. But if you or I was to have a conversation with a corporate entity, that information might be visible to WhatsApp. Is that the case?
Not the conversation, but the data related to it. So, you know, WhatsApp have always stated, you know, that they don't see our shared location and contacts aren't shared with Facebook. But if any of your listeners want to go in and look at the privacy policy, it details quite a lot of things that could be shared. And I suppose this is really around the nature of the business you're communicating with. And if you were selling me running shoes, and WhatsApp figured out that I like to buy running shoes, well, then they might be able to offer me ads for alternatives. Or more importantly, Facebook on my news feed could start to direct those ads to me.
Because you know what they say, that when a service on the internet is for free, it means you're actually the customer, you're actually to the user, or to the, actually not to the user, but to the company supplying the service, you actually are giving them your data. You're not getting it for free. So if we use WhatsApp, which is part of Facebook, what does Facebook get out of offering us a supposedly free service?
Well, this is, you know, crudely put, people refer to, you know, that we are the product and our data is the valuable asset. And that is absolutely the case. And I mean, that is the business model of Facebook and YouTube and Google. The more information they know about us, the more they know about who we like to talk to, about the music we like.
Sorry, Andy, if they are not reading the messages, how do they know that information and data?
Well, Matt, through the tracking of various things that we do online, for instance, even knowing the websites that we visit. And when you visit a website or when you use an online tool, you may be accepting cookies, they used to be called, but the more sophisticated trackers these days that figure out where you've gone and where you've been previously, and they know about the sort of websites that you've visited. And that's really important if you're selling somebody a product. What else have they been looking at? And it also allows them to shape even right down to pricing, Matt. If you've been visiting a low-cost retailer site, the next site that Facebook might show you an ad about will be for a lower-cost product within that genre of products. This business is incredibly sophisticated, and the value of an individual user to Facebook or Google is, it is not insignificant. There is a dollar amount that customers or online visitors are worth, and when you have billions of them, well, then that's a business.
Okay, tell me about the WhatsApp alternatives that people are turning to, and are they really any different?
They are different, Matt, and they have been popular for a couple of years. People might remember back to Viber, which became quite popular for a while. But there have been two that people in the US particularly have been turning to, because the privacy policy in the US and Europe, of course, are somewhat different. But Signal is the application that people really like, and it's probably the most secure of the online messaging apps, and it offers end-to-end encryption. But what's interesting about it is the software, the underlying code, is open sourced and is published, and that's a tremendous way of people being able to see how exploitable it is. So Signal are so confident in their platform, they tell you how it's done. Now, the other interesting thing about Signal is it's actually a not-for-profit organization, and they solicit donations. I believe Elon Musk recently was one of their big donors, and Signal would be my preferred private messaging tool, and it's very easy to use. Anyone who's used WhatsApp.
Yeah, does it do audio as well as text messages?
Yeah, it does. It does pretty much everything that WhatsApp does. There's very little that it doesn't do, and it does actually, one of the things it does, the disappearing messages, which WhatsApp have introduced, which is kind of, you know, reaching into that Snapchat area. They're adding features like that. And it's a really, really quality product. And as I say, my program of choice. The other one that people use is Telegram. And Telegram became incredibly popular with as a business communication tool, believe it or not. So when somebody was launching a product or maybe launching a company, they would set up these Telegram groups, and it works very much like a WhatsApp group in that sense. But again, it has end-to-end encryption, which isn't turned on by default, which is an odd thing, but you can turn it on. And you know, does it work as well as WhatsApp? I don't like it as much as Signal, but a lot of people use it because they're involved in groups that use it. Now, Telegram, of course, has had the same challenges as WhatsApp have for, you know, if you're organizing a night out, it's just as easy to organize a protest. And so that's why these end-to-end encryption tools, even though we like them as consumers, governments don't.
And if you were to go on something like a Signal or a Telegram, do people that you would be contacting have to be on it themselves first?
Yeah, they do. So they also have to use the app. A little bit like WhatsApp, though, you know, you can invite people very easily, you know, and you know, if you open your contacts on iOS or Android, you will get that option, you know, for maybe an SMS or a WhatsApp message. And Signal works the same way, and you will see people that you know signing up. So it's very easy to use. User-wise, they're obviously smaller than WhatsApp, but they are becoming increasingly popular. And because WhatsApp have sort of, you know, they've stubbed their toe with this policy, I think we are going to see, you know, more of a movement towards products like Signal and Telegram.
Does anyone use Viber anymore?
It's not as popular as it used to be. It was the cheap phone calls that attracted people. But now, of course, because we've just become so obsessed with not speaking to each other, you know, it's the text messaging that's becoming popular. So, yeah, I mean, WhatsApp have, as part of the Facebook integration, though, Matt, you know, they did initially say it would be very hard for them to link up Facebook and WhatsApp accounts. Turns out that's not true. Turns out it's a lot easier for Facebook to know more about us than they might have initially given us that impression. As a result, of course, going back to your point about, well, if it's for free, what's in it for them? And of course, it will power their advertising, but also WhatsApp finance. So paying bills, splitting bills, you know, sending money to friends, a little bit like Revolut and N26 are doing, that will all likely very soon be part of the WhatsApp product set in Europe. And WhatsApp money services exist in the US at the minute. And that's really where Facebook think that they will be able to win us back as WhatsApp users.
Okay, and what about Threema, because that costs $2.99 to download. Why would you spend money on something that's free unless, of course, you are guaranteed a much higher level of security?
Yeah, and Threema is a very good application. Surprisingly, it costs $3. They don't give it away free, but it does not require a phone number to use. And so that's also just an interesting twist on that. However, it was allegedly used by those plotting to kidnap the Michigan governor last year. And that's not the sort of press that Threema wanted. But when you think about private conversations, you don't need a phone number. Threema will appeal to a particular part of the messaging audience, I think. And of course, you know, it is encryption. Privacy conscious. It's not an app for me though.
Okay, listen, one other thing. Online shoppers apparently have been targeted with a courier payment scam. Tell us a little bit about the Garda warning on this, please, Andy O'Donoghue.
Yeah, this is really important at the minute because I got one of these messages myself yesterday and I was expecting an Amazon package today. If you're buying online from UK companies at the minute and let's say Amazon or one of the others, at the checkout, you will see that some of your orders will have a line item that says customs duty deposit. And this is in relation to cover the cost of that customs processing, which we've heard so much about. So it might be 5 or 10 euros if you're buying a reasonable size shipment. Now, that money needs to be collected from you and Amazon take it from you at the checkout. But what scammers have started to do is send people messages with the logo and name of well-known courier companies, all of the courier companies that we see on the roads here and on post. And what they're doing is they're saying you need to pay 2 or 3 euros to have your package released, and this is for the outstanding customs duty. There's a link in it. People are clicking in to a very convincing website, entering their payment card details, and are being duped out of their 2 or 3 euros. So this is happening on a mass scale, Matt. Once you've entered your payment details into one of these scammer sites, you're immediately at risk for even greater scamming. But it is also incredibly compelling in the sense that it looks real, and if they send them to the entire population, there's a good chance that we're all expecting packages over the next month or two anyway. So please, I would ask your listeners to be very cautious. Don't click on a link within one of these mails. Your customs duty will have been collected most likely at the checkout online, and if you get one, delete it.
Andy O'Donoghue, as ever, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
Today FM's Last Word on Tech with Matt Cooper and Volkswagen. Introducing the ID3, the electric car for the people.